today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Today, you will hear part two of Dr. Dobson's conversation with award-winning journalist Stephen Strang, talking about his new book, God and Donald Trump. On today's program, Dr. Dobson and Stephen Strang will talk about the decisions that President Trump has made in favor of religious freedoms and what else they would like to see done during a Trump presidency. Here now is the remainder of our program entitled God's Hand on America. Is God using President Trump? Right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Stephen, we are recording this program just a little bit early, and I'm only a few days away from an event that's taking place at the White House, and it is a mental health conference that is going to be held. I think about 75 mental health professionals are going to be there, and I'm going to be among them, and they have seven subjects that are going to be talked about. This could be almost a list for me of things I've fought for and against. Here they are. Pornography. My goodness, I was on the pornography commission in the 1980s trying to fight that wretched stuff. Childhood obesity, the opiate addiction that's sweeping the nation, the state of the family, prison reform, teen suicide, and then things related to the military having to do with PTSD and what's been done to the chaplaincy in the military to weaken it. Those are the subjects that we're going to be talking about there. And I don't know, we're probably going to break up into groups because that's too much to talk about. But look at the agenda here. Look at what the Trump presidency is focusing on. These are issues of moral significance throughout the country. And think about what I just said and whether or not those are issues that you would like to see the president of the United States behind.
And it's amazing that he has done this voluntarily. There's been nobody forcing him to do this. And earlier administrations, even the ones that were more friendly to our point of view, did not embrace these things. But Donald Trump seems to get it. Imperfect, irreligious man that he is, he seems to get it. And I'll give you an example from my book, God and Donald Trump. He was meeting with a group of pastors. I was not there, but one of the pastors who was there reported this to me. And he asked them for their support. And they all kind of looked at the floor. And he's saying, "What's wrong?" And they said, "We can't support you." "Well, why not?" "It's illegal." And they were referring, of course, to the Johnson Amendment, which kind of muzzles churches and nonprofits. Only one church has ever lost their nonprofit status over it, yet it's this big bugaboo that everyone's afraid of.
They're hiding behind it mostly.
And you know what? That's sadly, that's true. And right then and there, he said, "That's wrong. That needs to change." And he has mentioned it numerous times. In my lifetime, I don't even remember a politician mentioning it, let alone saying we need to do something about it. And he's already done something about it in the sense that he has issued some executive orders. And I think that they're going to try to get a law passed in Congress that would do away from this thing that's really muzzling a whole segment of the American population, the ones that are more conservative.
And I don't know if you know, but that hit us personally. President Obama issued a mandate requiring us to give contraceptives that kill babies to our employees. That's called an abortifacient. And I wrote the president and I sent a copy to all of our listeners saying, "Mr. President, what you have mandated is immoral and I can't comply with it. Come and get me if you must." And we wound up in federal court, and that's gone on all the way to the election and even since. And the president is determined to change that. And to have somebody fighting for us on that issue, the fine for not complying with Obama's regulation was $850,000 per year. We'd have been out of business in less than a year. We'd have had to close down. And that's because of this oppression of the far left that was impinging upon constitutional rights, religious liberty, if you will. So here's another example of good things that the president is doing and is working on. I believe if we give him time, there'll be a lot more of these successes in areas that, frankly, we care an awful lot about.
Well, my book is not an apologetic for Donald Trump at all. And I don't make him look like a holy man, which he isn't. But I believe that people are going to be surprised about Donald Trump. I mean, I believe he's going to go down as one of our great presidents because he's had the boldness to address some of these things. I mean, who's talked about draining the swamp before? And look at what's happened with the economy, with the stock market and so forth since he's been in. I think that these are is foreshadowing of things to come. And I believe that after a while, people are just going to get tired of this constant barrage of negativity about Donald Trump. But really, when they attack Donald Trump, they're attacking all of us who kind of believe the same way. It's just they can't attack all of us,
right,
but they can attack him. There are a lot of people that would like us to go away. And what you mentioned about President Obama and his administration, that was just the tip of the iceberg. You know, those were just some of the early indicators of what would have come if Hillary had been elected.
The bathroom issue, for example. You know, I can't believe that even happened, that the president of the United States would take it upon himself to issue a mandate to all of the schools in the country requiring them to allow men and boys to come into the restrooms where girls were using the facilities. You know, I thought surely there will be an uprising that will just completely overwhelm those who made such an order. And yet, for the most part, until the election, it had largely stood. And yet Donald Trump ended it.
Well, it's almost too horrible to believe. I mean, who would have ever thought that America would get to this? It is almost an indication of the moral decadence in our country. But what could people do? You know, they're making these issuing these statements and so forth. What do you do? Well, we can do something at the ballot box. And I think that that's what happened. A lot of people who didn't vote before voted for Donald Trump. And I believe that all of this comes into the fact that there wasn't actually a God factor in this election. It's a factor that the secular media, even a lot of Christians, don't really talk about. But I believe that God is sovereign and that God has a will and that it was his will for Donald Trump to be president. And not only that, but I documented in the book several prophets, modern day prophets, and I know this is controversial, a lot of people don't believe it, but I personally believe that God does speak to some of his chosen servants who have the role of prophet, and there were four specifically, didn't hint Donald Trump would win, said Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States against all odds. I mean, who was thinking that? Even up right up into the election, it was hard for us to believe it. Yet some of these prophecies go back as far as 2008, another one in 2011. And then there's also a very interesting story that goes back to the 1980s by a very different kind of person. Now, I write from an evangelical perspective, or some might say a charismatic perspective. That's my perspective, even though I try not to push it down the reader's throat and make the reader come to their own conclusions. You know, that's kind of who I am. So this came from the Roman Catholic tradition, with a Roman Catholic holy man named Tom Zimmer, who was an American who moved to Italy and hung around the Vatican and later Mary's house in Loreto. In the 1980s, he befriended a young man who was studying to be a doctor and told him this, that God was going to raise up an American businessman named Donald Trump to turn America toward Jesus. And the young doctor said, "You don't mean the New York Playboy?" And he said, "Absolutely." And he said, "Not only that, but I bought a brick and put his name on it. And apparently you can do this in the Vatican." And that brick has not shown up. But I mean, this was just a story. Well, the young man came back to America, established his practice, and the old man in the meantime died. And when Donald Trump ran for president, he told his Catholic priest this. He said, "You wouldn't believe this, but back in the 1980s, this holy man told me this. So it's hard for me to understand all this. There's a lot about Catholicism that I'm not comfortable with at all. But I thought if God could speak to some of these prophets who I know and respect, he could speak to this man who spent his all day long going to Mass and praying and showed him something from a very, very different perspective. He didn't say that Donald Trump is going to be president. He said that Donald Trump is going to turn America toward Jesus.
You know, Stephen, whether people choose to believe that or not, let's come to the bottom line. There were millions and millions of people praying about this election. There can be no doubt that heaven was bombarded by praying Christians who were saying, Lord, save this nation. The damage that will be done by this Supreme Court, especially to unborn children and marriage, the institution of marriage, and so many other issues. Lord, save us, spare us. I believe he pulled us back from the edge. I really do believe America was going down for the count.
It was an answer to prayer. In fact, the second chapter in Guide in Donald Trump is called Answered Prayer. And I interviewed leaders such as James Robeson and Pastor Jeffress from First Baptist in Dallas and so forth, who said absolutely this was answered prayer, and said exactly the same thing that you just said, that millions of people were praying. It's like Mike Bickle, who's a friend of mine, said, we were praying that God would raise somebody up, and we had nobody in mind. And I believe that he raised up Donald Trump.
Stephen, you had an opportunity to interview Donald Trump, didn't you? Tell us about that.
In August of 2016, I had 10 minutes with him. I'd asked for 20. They gave me 10. He gave me very thoughtful answers. He was kind. I saw a side of him that actually surprised me because, you know, I had only seen him in the media. And I was already a Trump supporter, but he really won me over that day. And I did everything I could with our internet, with Charisma Magazine, to try to get out the word about him getting elected. And I was such a fan, and I believed he'd be elected, partly because I believe these prophets who had prophesied this, that I went up to the election night party in New York City, which was a wonderful, wonderful historic event. And I happened to be around some Christians, and we were talking about how this was so unbelievable. It has to be a miracle. I believe there was a miraculous aspect to this, and not everyone believes in miracles. But my book documents numerous miracles that happened, a lot of information that hasn't been reported previously.
You were at the campaign headquarters the night Donald Trump was elected in New York. What was that like?
Well, that was what I was referring to as the election night party. They opened the doors at 6:30. Donald Trump came out at 3:15 Eastern time. And, of course, we were watching it on TV the best you could. It was pretty noisy. And we saw the votes coming in. And I remember at one point that Hillary was ahead of him 69-68. And after that, Donald Trump was ahead the whole night. Then, of course, when Florida went for Trump and then, of course, later Pennsylvania and so forth, and Ohio, he had a historic victory. It was just an honor. It was just a privilege. It'll be one of the highlights of my whole life to have been up there at the New York Hilton that night and to see that firsthand.
Well, Shirley and I were in our bedroom up in bed watching television. We watched from about 5 o'clock in the afternoon till 2 o'clock in the morning, mountain time, without having dinner, without stopping. And when it was announced that Donald Trump had won, I think that would have to rank as probably the top five experiences of my life. And the reason I felt that way about it is I felt, as you say in this book, America has been given a reprieve. Our sins are not all forgiven. We have killed nearly 60 million babies, and we're going to pay a price for that. And our troubles are not all over, but the Lord has given us a reprieve, and he is waiting to see what we do with it. Speaking of prayer, we've still got work to do because many of the things that Donald Trump has done have been by executive order, and that can go away with the next president. And we've got another election coming, and it's going to be brutal. It is going to be brutal because this country is divided north to south, east to west. It is terribly divided. We must be praying for our country.
Well, this clash and this divide has been going on for many years, but it seems to be coming to some kind of crescendo. And, you know, I think if you look at past elections, usually the midterm elections, after a president of one party is in, they lose either the House or the Senate. This is what normally happens. But I believe that Christian people, or just moral people, who see the country going to hell in a handbasket are becoming activists. You know, a lot of Christians are so nice. You know, they just kind of mind their own business and take care of their kids and pay their taxes, and they don't get involved. But we're in a situation where you can't sit on the sidelines anymore. You have to be involved. And everyone has a circle of influence, even just ordinary people. You've got your family and friends, and we can talk about this kind of thing. And we need to be thinking about the election a year from now, rather than just getting concerned about it 30 or 60 days before the election.
Tell me, as a kind of a summary for this book, God and Donald Trump, how do people pray for him? How would you recommend that we talk to the Lord about him? Because there are a lot of people who have been listening to us today and yesterday who are saying, you got to be kidding me. This is not a moral man. This is not a righteous man. I don't even know if he knows the Lord. And they can't believe what we've said today. And we're giving our own views and own opinions. But tell me how you feel about Donald Trump at this stage in his presidency.
Well, you know, if you look at his life, something happened about 10 years ago. I think he became more serious about the Lord, began surrounding himself with Christians. And the behavior that we're so critical of happened before then. And as Christians, we believe that people can change.
It's called redemption.
That's exactly right. And we need to give Donald Trump a chance. Of course, we need to pray for him. But what I would say is that we as Christians, if we really believe that God is sovereign, we need to pray according to God's will. We need to pray for his will to be done, for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And it's biblical to pray, not only for Donald Trump, but for all of our leaders. You know, the Bible commands us to do this.
That's right.
And I have a little app on my phone called 714. It relates to 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is that famous verse that if my people who are called by my name will humble and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And the app was actually developed by my friend Bob Vanderplatz from Iowa to remind people to pray. And on my smartphone, it goes off twice a day at 7:14 in the morning and 7:14 at night. I stop right there and I pray for our president and I pray for my governor and, you know, other elected officials that come to mind. We have to pray, and there's a power in prayer. Don't we believe that as Christians? Don't we believe that we don't have to take up arms, but we can actually – there's power in prayer. In fact, we were talking before the interview about how God intervened in Europe in World War II in answer to people praying that God would somehow spare the world from Nazism. I mean, can you imagine the world if the Nazis had won? It would be entirely different than what we experience today. But God heard the prayers of his people. Now, this is not documented very well because secular people ignore it. And the history books have this. And part of my reason for writing this book was to try to document from my perspective what I saw happening. So it was part of the public discourse because I've read a number of books about Trump and Hillary, and they're just totally secular. They don't even bring into fact that the meeting that you described earlier about 1,000 pastors being there and the strong evangelical vote, they don't even mention that, let alone is God involved in the affairs of man, which is, if you remember what Benjamin Franklin said at the Constitutional Convention when they were at a kind of a turning point. And if you study history, Benjamin Franklin was no choir boy, that's for sure. But yet he had a reverence for God, and it was just true. God does involve himself in the affairs of men. He does answer prayer. And I believe that he raised up Donald Trump, and I hope in the future, because the battle's not going to be over, with this administration.
Hardly.
I'm praying that God will raise up other godly leaders and that somehow our country will experience the revival that is really what is needed. Because only when people's hearts are changed are their behaviors and their attitudes changed.
Oh, Stephen, I agree with that. I long for that. My father was an evangelist, and I've seen revival. I know it when it occurs. I've been in church services where the men that were standing in front of me were holding the pews to keep from falling. That may sound strange to some people, but I can tell you, I've been there. I saw it when the power of the Holy Spirit descends upon a people. And I long for him to come here in this country and awaken people to sin and evil and depravity and to the reconciliation with God that can occur and has in times past. And I pray that it will happen again. You mentioned in this book the story of Esther and her experience with the king and with Haman, who wanted to kill all of the Jews and had plans to do that. The bottom line for her anointing and responsibility is that it was for such a time as this. Do you believe this is such a time as this?
Absolutely. In fact, we have one section of the book that even has that as kind of a subtitle. And we kind of talk about that.
Have you seen that, Stephen?
Absolutely.
Have you seen that kind of power come upon a church service?
Yes, many times, not as often as we'd like. And you almost have to experience to know what we're talking about.
Yeah, but it sounds spooky, but I'm telling you, there's something real there.
And I know there are a lot of people that feel like you do, and I know that they will enjoy the book because they'll get all excited. But I also am hoping that secular people will read it and even consider, is God involved in the affairs of man? I'd like for this to be a part of our public debate as we have these culture wars and the other things we've been talking about. And if I could, I could tell your listeners that they can get a free chapter, and there's an interesting trailer at this website. Is called GodAndDonaldTrumpBook.com, and that's just a good way to interact with us and to find out more about the book.
And about your organization?
Well, they could go to CharismaMedia.com, which would tell them about our organization, our publishing house.
Can they get on the mailing list for Charisma Magazine?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for saying something about Charisma. That's my baby. And, of course, we're glad. And people can also sign up for free things online. They can sign up for my blog, which is called The Strang Report at strangreport.com, and interact in a lot of other ways as well.
And you publish 50 books a year about?
That's right, in both English and Spanish. A lot of people don't know that. There are people who know me for Charisma Magazine don't even know we publish books, but Jonathan Kahn is our best and biggest author right now. But we've also had many, many successful books by names that you would recognize.
Well, the Lord is using you, Stephen, and I'm glad to call you my friend and vice versa, and I hope this book sells a million copies. God and Donald Trump, not a perfect man, but I think inside a good man, and he's certainly doing some good work.
I agree with you, and thank you for the privilege of being on your program.
We hope you have appreciated listening to this conversation the past couple of days about God's hand on the 2016 election, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. If you missed the first part of this conversation on yesterday's program, go to drjamesdobson.org and catch up on that show or any other program you might have missed. Again, our website is drjamesdobson.org, and then click onto the broadcast page. As we wind down 2017, won't you consider making a financial contribution to Family Talk? Our ministry completely relies on you and your tax-deductible financial contributions. Right now through the end of December is a great time to partner with us because every dollar you are able to donate will be doubled with a generous matching grant. You can give a gift online at drjamesdobson.org. It's a secure website, by the way. You can also give a gift over the phone at 877-732-6825. Again, the toll-free number to call, 877-732-6825. I'm Roger Marsh, reminding you to be sure to join us again next time as we'll be bringing you a classic interview featuring author and speaker Nick Vujicic. We are sure you're going to be blessed by this program. That's coming up on tomorrow's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hey, right now, grab your cell phone, go to your app store, and click on the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk app. Download it right now, and you can start listening anywhere at any time. 24/7, 365.